In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know, as serious Bible studiers, biblical scholars, if you will, of years of paying attention to God's Word, we know certain things that we put together to try and discern what it is that God is saying to us. We know, of course, in terms of the New Testament, that the earliest writings were the letters of Paul, as he wrote these instructions to the various churches that he had founded. And all the epistles, indeed, almost all of them, are the earliest writings. The Gospels did not come into existence until about 70 A.D., somewhere around 35 years after the resurrection. The stories were there, of course, and the gospel story was there, and it was passed down by oral tradition. It's the fact that most folks didn't read anyway, and that's the way it happened within God's church. That's how all of the stories and all of the sayings and all the rememberings and all the teachings and all the parables were passed down. We also know that out of the four Gospels that we have within our sacred canon, that each Gospel writer came at it from a particular point of view. We know that from Luke the physician that you've got to read both Luke and Acts together because it's book one and then book two, if you will. We know that John, being a Greek, came at things from a different thought process than the other three gospel writers. We know that Mark is right there, doesn't even deal with the nativity at all, but right in the beginning of Jesus, from the very beginning, that the time is now, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's all happening right now. And we know that from Matthew, this particular passage that we read out of this gospel, we know that Matthew has a point of view. It's what often is called to as the Jewish point of view or the point of view of the people of God, for it was very important for Matthew, not about the specifics of the story, but rather about what they all meant and of hooking in all of the prophecies and all of the things. For Matthew, the story is not just about Jesus, but it's about God's plan from the beginning in terms of humans' salvation, if you will. Matthew was not concerned about how things happened, but why they happened and why they happened in particular sequence. A kind of connecting of the dots of the people of God and the fulfilling of the process. For Matthew, the coming of Jesus is the coming of the new Moses, the coming of the new lawgiver, of the one who will clarify it all, which broadened his understanding of what it meant for God's Messiah to come, not only to clarify all of this long history and all of these laws and those kinds of things, but also once and for all to put to rest the understanding that it is God's Messiah who will come to save God's people and to put it within that context. So we have within this short pericope a little bit of the way in which Matthew structures things for us. And the first thing is he talks about God's call. Now, you and I, we hear that and we often think, well, clergy, yeah, clergy are called to a specific calling, or we think about missionaries, maybe that they have a particular calling of something to go and do. But we also know that for Matthew, and certainly for us in the Reformed tradition, is to understand that for each of us is to pay attention to sort out what God's call is for us, whether we are a farmer or an engineer or a bus driver or a teacher or clergy or whatever it is, that God speaks to us about our particular talents and adds to it learnings and experiences that we might be about answering God's call. The way in which it happens here, of course, we've got Mary and Joseph who paid attention as God's people, and that's what the call is about. It's being paid attention to how God is calling you. For Mary and Joseph, it happened in dreams, right? Mary, Gabriel comes to Mary and speaks to her in terms of the Annunciation and about her being great with child. And then comes to Joseph, who is all put out about this and not knowing what to do because his soon-to-be wife is already pregnant. And the angel comes and says, it's all right. It's okay. The child that she carries is of the Holy Spirit. It's okay. You go ahead and you marry Mary. Both Mary and Joseph, pay attention to God's activity, God's calling in their life, God's purpose for them. I'm sure that they both dealt with all kinds of things within their society and with their families, people saying, oh, sure, you had a dream, and oh, yeah, God talked to you. But deep down within each of us, we know that that's what happens, that God reaches into us and helps shape, if we pay attention, shape the ways in which God will use our lives, the ways in which we will answer God's call. We will be God's person. For Matthew, this is extremely important. And he knows that Joseph has heard. And here we have the angel coming again, saying to Joseph and giving warning, take the mother and his child, flee to Egypt. And then coming again when the threat is finally gone, saying, it's all right, you can come on back. But being judicious as he is and understanding it's Herod's son. Herod, by the way, was not Jewish. Herod was of another sect. He was just the ones that the Romans chose to put in charge, and he would made sure that he was in charge. He killed most of his children, and including two of his wives, to make sure that he wouldn't be replaced. And then finally, when he dies, this other son, Archelaus, ends up taking over the job of being king, if you will, in league with the Romans. And it is that human threat, if you will, that Joseph avoids and takes Mary and Jesus to where? To Nazareth, indeed, where he can be brought up. So you get this idea of God's call and us paying attention to it. The second has to do with God's politics. The world is a difficult and violent and unfortunate place. It is not ruled by good and bad, by what is right and what is wrong. It's often ruled by who can have the most power and who can do that. Our human history is full of that, and we wrestle with that as God's people. How do we be God's people, answer God's call in among the world in which we live? That's our struggle, if you will, as disciples, just like it is for Joseph and his call to be the father of this Jesus along with Mary. God's politics are the ways in which we can survive the sinfulness that seeks to bring down and destroy the creation so that God's plan might indeed rise above to make wholeness of it all and to bring forth salvation. God's call, God's politics, and then what perhaps you would call God's providence. Joseph takes the baby and his mother back to Nazareth, and they settle in. And he goes with his craftsman and his skill and as the town carpenter. And it's also there where Jesus learns the traditions about God and about Hebrew law and about going to synagogue and about God's right and wrong and all of those kinds of things, taking years to begin to understand his role and the reason for which he had come into existence. Indeed, to be God's Messiah, to be the Savior of all humankind. It's not an instantaneous thing. It happens that way. And it happens that way with you and me. How many years have we spent being brought up within the church and within God, the relationship with God-fearing people, parents and aunts and uncles and others, being trained into what is right and what is wrong and what God would have us do and be? God's providence for each and every one of us. The message of Matthew is simple. God's call to each and every one of us. Number two, to pay attention to God's politics and understand its difference from the world and how do we sort that out. And number three, God's providence. How do we gain the skills and the experience and put it together with our talents, that we can be the best that God wishes us to be. It is this formula, if you will, that speaks about our discipleship, especially at this Christmas time, to get beyond the manger, to get beyond the stars in the sky, and to understand that God is about real life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.